Blog Talk Radio.
Turn the page. I'm your host, the girl who found a secret bottle of wine in a refrigerator just now, Kayla Greenwell. Tonight we are going to be focusing on Jeremiah Walton, who's doing a million things. But tonight we're going to talk to him about books and shovels. And after that, we will be speaking with Jessica Lindsley, who is the co-organizer and host of The Laughing Girls Present Welcome to the Creep Show Poetry Reading in Fargo. So let us get Jeremiah on the line. Jeremiah?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. I'm alive and kicking. I'm standing in the rain as promised. In Manchester,
good.
New Hampshire. How are you doing?
I am not standing in the rain, but I did find a bottle of wine, so I think
you're a couple of steps ahead of me then.
So I talked to you a little bit before the show about all of the crazy things you are doing. They're not crazy, they're crazy awesome. But today you wanted to focus on books and shovels. So do you want to talk first a little bit about what that is and how it got started?
Yeah, Books and Shovels is a traveling bookstore that some friends and I kicked off at the New York City Poetry Festival in 2014. And we just kind of followed shows and bopped around the country as we went, distributing literature at a pay-what-you-can rate to promote passionate living over making a living. That's our primary focus. And as we traveled around, things got a little hectic pretty quickly. We got in a car accident, wrecked the vehicle. We traveled with brain packs, just hitchhiking and greyhounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mine. Can you just put that down, man? Sorry about that.
No, you're
and
good.
We bopped around, getting around however we could, carrying whatever books we had and distributing those as we went. We primarily just show up at open mics or set up on street corners for larger events. We would set up in advance, and we kind of closed out a year of doing it at the New York City Poetry Festival again this past July, where Nostrovia had its first chapbook debuts. Nostrovia Poetry is a press Books and Shovels operates under. Christopher Morgan and I manage it, and with all of that, we just kind of follow wherever the road leads us at this point.
Right. Well, where did you go in the past year? Where can people see you if you're coming in near them? Like you said, the road leads you, but where have you been?
We just did the Oakland Poetry Festival. We did Beast Crawl. That was an incredible time. We spent a lot of time out in Tucson, Arizona. We would host events out there, open mics and poetry and hip-hop shows, and we would set up there for a little while. We did that. We did This Is Poetry in Springfield, Illinois, a little bit in Florida and the Bradenton area. We would set up at Greyhounds whenever we took a Greyhound during the layover. it's very spontaneous. There's not much of a concrete plan. Like when we left earlier this year from Tucson, we wanted to see the Bay because none of us had been to the Bay Area before. So, and we had to be back to Tucson for other obligations. So we just made a windy trip up through northern Arizona. We hit the Grand Canyon, traveled through Vegas, was awake for 2 days running around there. We did not sell a lot of books. Went up to the Bay and then followed Route 1 south back to Tucson. And then again, we were just like, all right, we got to get to New York City and do Oakland's Poetry Festival as well. So we went up back to Oakland and then we just kind of made our way back over to New York City. We just kind of hit whatever's in between, whatever flip of a coin destination we choose.
That sounds really awesome. So where do you get the books to sell at the pay what you can rate? Do writers donate them, or how does that work?
A lot of writers and poets and publishers that we've worked with in the past have donated and greatly helped us out. Punk Hostage Press, big one that contributed consistently over its first debut. And we primarily, like, as we travel, we just talk to people. We meet a lot of poets and just have like random ciphers outside or outside the literary community is where we get a lot of our donations now, just meeting people who support it. And they just end up giving us books that made an impact on their lives that they want to push that forward with. Or we meet other writers and artists who have been, there's this one man that we met out in, where was it? I think it was Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City. And he literally gave us like 80 to 90 chapbooks that he'd collected over a decade of just going to open mics throughout the area. Like he
That's really
just
cool.
would travel to every time he went to a show, he'd buy a book. And he just gave them all to us, being like, hey, these are just collecting dust on my shelf at this point. I've read them all over. You guys can actually like do something with these. So it's really varies. I mean, one point we're stealing them from Barnes and Nobles. Another point we were dumpster diving and we found like a huge bag of books and there are a bunch of different collections by Whitman in there. Like it just kind of happens as we go.
Listeners or anyone would are interested in donating books to you guys, how could they go about that?
They can get in contact with us through Nostrovia Poetry. If you Google Nostrovia Poetry, it'll come up. There'll be a contact page, and my email is on there. We can go back and forth regarding like what you're looking to donate, and we can find a secure place to have them mailed to and pick them up.
That's awesome. Are you guys planning on heading out anytime soon? Do you have any plans for starting up Books and Shovels again?
Well, right now I'm working through the doldrums of a call center to get the money to do so. We're kicking off in October again. We're heading down to New Orleans and then going to Tucson and then up to San Francisco for Lit Crawl. We'll be working with Zarina Zabriskie and Simon Rogue. And from there, we're just kind of bopping around up in the Northwest and probably heading through the Rust Belt a little bit. A wonderful woman named Emily Kask is joining on board with us, and she's going to be filming a documentary on the project and traveling kids, people who just were fed up with societal virtues and decided to reject that and go through their own motions of chasing whatever it was that they were running towards or running from whatever they were running away from. There's too many different reasons for traveling for me to categorize like that, but in that sense, she's going to be using Books and Shovels as a platform to outreach into the traveling community and talk with artists of all natures in order to get a good concept of creativity in the 21st century and travelers and what everybody is biting into at this point.
Oh, that is really
So,
cool.
Books and Shovels is branching out a little bit.
No, that is I'd be excited to for the chance to be a part of that. And I wanted to say, before I let you go that when Jeremiah and I were talking earlier before the show, he said that they were looking for places to set up after Lit Crawl in San Francisco. So if you're listening and you've got a place that he can set up, go to Nostrovia Press, get a hold of him, and see if you can't set something up and be a part of this really, really cool project. Jeremiah, thank you so much for your time and for talking
for
to us
me.
A little bit. Yeah, make sure you stay on because the last 10 minutes of the show is open to callers, and they might have a question or two for you.
Okay.
All right. Just
All
hang
right, wonderful.
On. Next, we have Jessica Lindsley, who works as a power lifter and practices thermography. Can you tell that I'm down with the sciences? And ultrasonic imaging for a composite manufacturer. Tonight, we're going to be talking to her about an upcoming reading hosted by the Laughing Girls called Welcome to the Creep Show. So let's get Jessica on the line. Jessica?
Hello?
What is a power lifter? This is just a personal question, but I'm sure other people are.
Well, actually, powerlifting is a type of weightlifting. There's basically three main lifts, the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift.
You're super in shape.
I wish that was the case, but I'm pretty satisfied just to be able to lift really heavy stuff, apparently.
That sounds really fun. So tonight we're talking about the upcoming poetry reading, Welcome to the Creep Show. It's in downtown Fargo, which I only know because of the movie Fargo. I'm sure others are in the same boat too, but can you tell us a little bit about that? So what's the Laughing Girls and what is the Creep Show? Welcome to the Creep Show.
Actually, the Laughing Girls is a collaboration that I started with my sister. Basically, we kind of grew up fairly isolated from basically the norm of society. It's something I guess I don't talk about a lot, but my dad was most likely he was undiagnosed with some sort of mental illness. It's probably schizophrenia. But we were kind of raised without like the normal access to pop culture and stuff like that. We got into college and it was awesome fun for one, but also that we were we were just very bizarre, I'm sure, that everybody we were in school with. And originally in high school, we were kind of known as the Weird Sisters, a la Macbeth. And we'd kind of really get into some of the Shakespeare stuff, and we'd really dress up. But in college, we had, sometimes you happen upon that one teacher who just makes things click for you. And,
yeah,
yeah. We had Doc Masters was our teacher, and she was just amazing. And one day that we were actually co-presidents of the English club and just a bunch of really nerdy stuff. And we walked into class and, just laughing at something like we always do. And, she said, "Hey, it's the Laughing Girls." And that name really stuck. So as we're, it's later on, we're, thinking about how can we bring poetry, how can we bring, all this wonderful stuff that people are writing in North Dakota they don't have any venues, they don't have any access to get it out in the public. What should we call ourselves? And so that was kind of the natural choice.
Yeah, That's so cool. That's such a nice sort of like origin story. I like it.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to the Creep Show. You just announced just a few hours ago the featured presenters. So things are starting to come together.
Yeah. I actually just heard from Jennifer that she would be able to join us, so I wanted to hold off on announcing until I knew for sure if she was in or out. So I am extremely excited. For a long time, here in Grand Forks, we have the UND Writers Conference, and that's been a pretty big deal, you know, through the years. But for me, it was personally a big deal because I came to Grand Forks and was no longer in school. So this was my one connection with the, you know, with anything literary was I would do this one thing each year, and I didn't care how scared and shy or whatever I was. I decided, okay, if I'm not working or I'm not, you know, doing something crazy out of the country, I will be giving a reading. So every year, without fail, I gave one single reading. And, but this last couple of years, you know, I've kind of realized that, you know, that there's no sense being, you know, maybe coming out of my shell a little bit of actually talking to some of the people and realizing that there are a lot of people that are feeling the way I feel, that we are just really isolated in this area. It doesn't feel like there's much of a poetry scene, but there is. There's a lot of people that are out there writing, and there's no place to go out and share that with people.
Yeah, no, that's what I love about small press in general is there is talent and creativity everywhere. And small press really highlights that no matter where you are, there's something going on. There's people writing, and they're doing really, really cool things. Like you with the Welcome to the Creep Show reading. This is awesome. It's in Fargo. And there's the poetry reading.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I'm still, you know, not, this is actually the first we're put on, so I'm still not, if I think about it, I'm going to get really nervous, so I'm not going to think about it and just go ahead with it. I mean, we are, you know, it's just phenomenal, the amount of energy that I'm coming across. I'm doing a lot, actually quite influenced by kind of the indie punk scene that there used to be in my hometown around, you know, during high school, and the word of mouth, and, you know, instead of before, you know, maybe doing e-vites or something like that, I mean, I'm going to people and saying, hey, I want you to read for me. I want you to do this, you know, and some people aren't able, and some people are like, nope, that's dumb. But, you know, for the most part, I can't tell you how positive the response has been. And I think ideally we'd... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm working with Julie Larson of Blotter Chair for a little over a year now. It's just, what's the worst people can say? No, that's right? The worst that's going to happen. But overall, the response always is incredibly positive, and it just makes me so happy inside. So happy.
So what can people expect from the show?
Well, we have four featured poets. Each one of them will have about 15 minutes or so, or longer, I guess, if they feel so moved. And then following that, we'll have an open poetry, like an open mic time. I'm pretty sure that I will share some poetry. Like I said, I am a big scaredy cat, but, you know, if you
better do
take
it.
That, right? If you take that part
you
out,
do it.
You know, you're missing all the feedback and the response. And sometimes that's, I mean, it's the incentive to keep writing if you believe that, you know, people are, when you feel that people are touched by what you have to say and or what you've shared with them.
Definitely. I think a lot of people think at first that writing is some sort of solitary thing. And, I mean, I guess in some way it is because you can't, you know, you can't put someone in your head, but, you know, there's collaborations and community is so important, and getting out there and sharing and working with other people is, like, key, especially in small press,
Yeah.
So it's really cool what you're doing and what Jeremiah is doing. We're reaching the last 10 minutes of our show, and so what I want to do is keep you on the line. I'm going to bring Jeremiah back, and the last 10 minutes is open to callers who have any questions for me or you or Jeremiah. The call-in number is 323-870-3407. And we're just going to keep it open, and the three of us can talk amongst ourselves, and if people call in, and we can answer their questions. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Jeremiah, you there? Still
Hello.
Standing in the rain?
I'm back.
Hello.
A little bit. I stepped off to the side. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Sorry about that little interruption earlier. Someone picked up my dinner off the ground that I'd set to the side while I was pacing, and I had to
Rude.
Fend them off.
It's totally acceptable, then. If someone was taking my food, I'd be more than like, hey, can you put that down?
Right?
I thought that'd just
be
a funny
like,
little line.
Don't touch my food. I have a question for you, guys. This is very random. I was talking earlier with a friend of mine about Pinky and the Brain. Do you remember Pinky and the Brain? The cartoon?
Yeah, a little
from
bit.
The 90s?
Vague.
Vaguely. Okay. Well.
Yeah, very vaguely.
There was a phrase where Brain would talk to Pinky, the dumber one, and say, are you thinking what I'm thinking? But my friend, who had just, you know, seen a clip of it, was like, it's, are you pondering what I'm pondering? And I said, no, that's wrong. And so I'm trying to poll people and see if it's, are you thinking what I'm thinking, or are you pondering what I'm pondering? So, yeah, well, I mean, if you're not, I haven't seen it in years, but I know I'm right, so.
I have honestly no idea. I would have been, I was like, when was that show on? Because, like, I'm 20, so I think I have more millennial than 90s in my blood.
I'm 23. What does that make me?
Oh, same boat, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you just know more about the world. I didn't know what the Chappelle show was until, like, 3 months ago, Matt. Pop culture, I have no idea what's going on.
I am so sorry. Pinky and the Brain, according to Google, ran from 1995 to 1998.
Yeah, so I was three.
I was three when it started.
No, I don't know. These are just things I really don't know about. Pondering what I'm pondering or thinking what I'm thinking. So I guess we're pondering the same thing?
I mean, it's technically the same thing. But there's a big difference. No, I'm just kidding. So have you two met each other before, or is this is the first time for you as well?
This is the first time.
I count talking on the phone. There we go. Talking on the phone is meeting, by the way.
Oh, that works perfectly.
Do you have any questions for each other or for me? Oh, we're waiting for people.
Well, I just dropped my laptop in the rain, so
oh, no.
I honestly kind of missed the past 10 seconds.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. No emergencies. It fell out of the computer.
You can
bag,
call
no
in.
Worries.
You can call in and ask Jeremiah about his rain-soaked laptop by calling the number 323-870- 3407.
You know, I would like to say that actually just listening to your project with the, that sounds amazing. Yes, I commend you for that. That, I mean, wow.
I have a question. Jeremiah, what's the most exciting part? I mean, besides getting to travel everywhere, what's your favorite part about the traveling bookstore?
I don't know. I like the little gatherings that happen. I'm starting to shy away from posting my own poetry and sharing my writing and features and things like that, because it, even though like it's not like it was consistent or there was a lot of that in that sense, but I've come to enjoy like one-on-one interactions and one-on-one shows or small groups, like three or four people. One of the best memories I have from this last trip was hanging out in San Francisco. We were in the Excelsior District, and there was like three or four of us, and we were going to be leaving that day. We met this really, really cool poet, another cat that spent a lot of time traveling. He was there for Beast Crawl as well. His name was Clay. And there's this kid I met in Venice Beach who came up and met up with us again. So it wasn't a, it was cool because it wasn't a one-time connection like a lot of the people you meet while traveling. And he traded me a wire wrap for one of my chapbooks. But me, him, and my friend Nico, who does hip-hop, really cool guy who I can honestly credit to saving my life at one point. And, like, we just sat there for probably, like, 5 hours, like 4 hours or something ridiculous, just in the middle of the sidewalk on a side street, just going around sharing all of our poetry and our writing and our work and just doing that. And those types of connections happen with more frequency when you like shut up and seek it out in a way. And those readings and like those are the moments where you're actually going to use your art to make an impact on other people's lives. One-on-one, more intimate communication. Like, I think there is a place for mass communication and reaching larger audiences, but it's going to muddy down what you're trying to say. It's going to skew it more so. Even if there is nothing you're trying to inherently say, like, that one-on-one interaction is more memorable when you can actually touch with each other upon whatever it is that all of you are thinking or indirectly collaborating on, just through spending that time of actually getting to know each other and the face behind the creative that's putting the work together.
Yeah, no, that seems much more human. I mean, I'm still working on my bachelor's degree, and so I have a pretty heavy background in academics right now, and sometimes I miss just the small groups where you can, it's not formal, and you can just sit back and share your stuff for what it is.
That's what both of you are doing. In a lot of ways.
Well, yeah.
Like what you're doing right now.
Right. But I don't get to, you know, I can't actively seek it out. And that's why I really enjoy projects like Books and Shovels, because I can't do it as much as I want to, or maybe Jessica can't do it as much as she wants to. And so, you know, we depend on cool people going around the country and doing it so we can show up to their little group.
Well,
or for people like Jessica, who comes up with a poetry reading in the middle of Fargo, so we can get together.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. Like, seriously, these are some cool projects. Like, I love Blotter Chair, and what you're working on sounds like cool all around, Jessica, and like everything is just gonna fall together. You know, it's the small presses cooperating that's gonna create the environment that I think people are gonna seek out.
For sure, for sure. Well, thank you guys. Thank you both for coming. Well, coming, calling, you know what I mean. Thank you so much. Both of you guys are doing really, really great things. And I hope to hear more from both of you in the future. If you guys want to, well, I say you guys, I mean listeners, get a hold of either Jeremiah or Jessica, you can get in touch with either me or Michelle McDaniel through Turn the Page, and we will get them in touch with you. Thank you guys so much again.
Thank you for having us.
You have a
this
good
was
evening.
Great.
Yes.
You as
right.
well.
Have a good
Enjoy
night.
Enjoy that wine.
I will. You too. I am.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.